All right, so we are in our second class in the series of Mazalos. Very important for someone who did not listen to the introduction to listen to the introduction, because without the intro, everything that we're learning might be taken in the, out of the correct context, and that will not be a good thing. Okay, so after having reiterated all of the intro that we set out last week, we at least last week began speaking about Mepoyel Mamish, beginning with the days of the week, how the days of the week, one being born on any of the 7 days, has, in a limited way, on part of the person, particularly on the person's animal, natural soul, an influence as to what their tendency or what their nature will be. So last week we learned about Sunday, that being that Hashem created on Sunday light and dark, that indicates that Sunday is a very one-sided day, and people that are born on Sunday, meaning Motzi Shabbos, Sunday day, Halachic Sunday, such a person, man or woman, will have a tendency of being an extremist. And it's good to know that. And like the Rambam writes, that if a person is an extremist, the solution to that, parenthetically, there is one attribute that all of us have to be in an extreme. There is one thing that we all have to be extremists in, and that is in humility. That is an anivus, which is very much linked. The opposite of that would be being arrogant. Arrogance and anger are really, in the Rambam's understanding, really from the same root, that both of these attributes are attributes that one may not have in moderation, according to the Torah. Unlike all the other attributes that we want moderation, a little bit of something is very good. Too much or none is not good. Like the Rambam gives an example. People are people that are stingy, and there are people that are very loose-handed in their finances. And not this nor that is good. It's a bad midah. Being stingy is a bad midah. Being very hefkirdik is a bad midah. Being somewhat balanced, whatever that means, the word balance is a very difficult word to define, because everyone finds their balance in a different place. But at least conceptually, we understand the concept of balance. The only meter that we should be extreme in is in, we have to be extremely humble, and therefore we may not get angry.
Can you define the Torah definition of humble? Because my experience is very often,
okay, very good.
People, it just means that they have no self-confidence or no sense of self, and they like let people walk all over them, like, I don't think that's what the Torah is saying.
Correct. Okay, so maybe we should speak about this in great length, but there's no doubt that humility is not to have a false perception of self. I think that will be the key nekuda here. A false perception of self goes both ways. People that think of themselves to be greater than they are in a certain area is false, sheker. People who think of themselves lesser is also sheker. And the world loses from that. In other words, if someone has a talent, and because of the person's false humility, it's called anivus shel sheker. So they don't see that in themselves. That's not good, because if you were gifted by God with a talent, if you don't see how great you really are, then you're not going to use it as much as you could, as much as you should, because God gave every gift for it to be used for the benefit of those around us and ultimately for the world. Moshe Rabbeinu knew his talent, and he excelled in it. He was the greatest Rabbeinu that we ever had as a people, but he was humble. Humble meaning he wasn't full of himself. And using the words that Rebbe gives us, is that Moshe Rabbeinu, knowing his greatness, always remembered that he was gifted at birth with certain talents, and he used them to a certain level. He thought that if someone else would have been given the same talents, they would have used it better. So he felt humble. And he felt humble not only in front of every Jew, he felt humble in front of every human being. Very importantly, because he felt that if someone else would have been given the same gifts that he got, they would have ran more with it. But he knew who he was, and therefore he used his chushim to the fullest. This in the Kuda addresses your question. But we can speak about anger. Anger, we all understand. The anger is something that is not okay. And even when it comes to education, the way that Imam writes it, that there are times that the other person will benefit if they perceive you to be angry, but it has to be a show, it has to be an acting. So if a parent, through acting angry, will impress upon the child that whatever it is that they did is not okay, then they should act angry. When they actually feel the anger, they should do nothing. The Rambam also writes, and what does one do if we are born with an extreme? So if a person was born on Matzah Shabbos Sunday, what should you do? And the answer is, this is the Rambam's approach. It's very, you can say, superficial. But let's begin with superficial. The Rambam was very much into occupational therapy, external therapy, behavioral therapy. The Rambam writes many times that the outer influences the inner. This is a typical Orthodox approach, which to a certain degree is very important. At least initially, it's very important. So behave a certain way, and it will become your second nature. So he says, for example, if a person is very stingy for 40 days, they should put themselves in settings where they will be solicited the whole time, and they should be very giving against their nature. Break your nature for 40 days. In the beginning, it's going to be very difficult. But after a while, you'll become habituated in doing something that was initially not in your nature. Push it. Or on the opposite. If a person is very, very giving, for 40 days, they should put themselves in the most nebach surrounding, where there's many needs, and don't help anyone.
I need to do that.
Okay. And it's like against your nature. Just get used to the exercise, the power of saying no. And then, after 40 days, generally go back to the medium, to the golden road, the Shvil Hazov. Okay, that's Sunday. Now we're up to Monday. Hai man de betrei b'shabo. If anyone is born on Monday, Sunday night, Monday. So he says, Yehi gevar ragzon, he will be an angry person. In other words, we're speaking about the concept again, that midos, we are born, we meaning the animal soul, is imbued with a certain tendency, with a certain nature. And it's good to know what my nature is. My tamo, how was this connected to Monday? Mishum de ifligu b'maya, because the waters were divided on Monday. Who knows what it means that the waters were divided on Monday? What exactly was divided on Monday?
Heaven and earth.
Huh?
Heaven and earth.
Sorry?
Heaven and earth. The waters above and the waters below.
What does that mean?
They were separated.
I know that, but what does that mean?
Well, if you're separated,
okay,
that you were part of, it could make you angry.
Where are the waters above?
In heaven.
Where? Can you point to that?
The...
So is the water in the atmosphere?
There's moisture.
Okay, and the waters below?
Okay,
it's good. Okay, good. This is one of the big mysteries of the second day, that it's not clear what it means. Well, for sure, what you're saying is part of the truth.
Maybe it doesn't.
In other words, let me tell you like this. In the Gemara, in our sages, we have a machloikas. From where does rain come from? That's kind of awesome.
Clouds.
Yeah, everyone knows that. From where does the water and the clouds come from? Okay, and where does the... And where, so it says in the Chumash that the Eid Yalamin audits. Nevertheless, there's other verses in Nach that imply that somewhere out there, there is out of the orbit of the world, somewhere in outer space, there is something that could become watery when it enters the atmosphere. And the question is water coming from down here or is water coming from up there?
Or both,
for sure. Well, ultimately, whenever there's a machlokes, then it's coming from both. According to the Torah, D-E-W, that should be found on the earth every single day. Maybe it's not noticeable when we're living in a city, right? It's called Tal Roi Ma'atzra. Dew comes from out there, comes from the higher waters. So whatever it is, there's higher waters, there's many layers of higher waters and lower waters. And initially they were connected. And on Monday God separated them. And division, if you want to ask what's the root of anger, division. It's a Kabbalistic way of looking at it. Why? Why is that so? Why is division connected to anger? First of all, anger causes division. That's for sure. But how is anger, just to give words to it, how is anger and division somehow connected?
There's no unity.
You know, why is that connected to anger?
When a baby's born, the baby cries because suddenly
separate.
They're separate from their
what? What is that?
So there's like a frustration of being divided from your source.
Well, anger is a lack of control. So if you no longer can control something, it can make.
So one second. I want to address that first because I would say that anger can come from a feeling of lacking control to the person who has the illusion that they are in control. Right. Something else, but that's not the so the anger comes from the illusion of being in control. I'm trying to see how division and anger are connected. How do you define anger? Okay, how do you define anger? It's a fiery, angry feeling. I don't know. How do you define anger?
It's an out of control feeling. You don't.
I think it's a bad feeling. Like people get angry when they're not involved, they're accepted, or someone's not listening to them.
But why is that division? Okay, can a person get angry at themselves?
Yeah.
So I'm going back to what you're saying now. So whether I'm
if you look at Sunday, and if Sunday is fixed on something, and you're comfortable in that fixation of Sunday one way, and then you're forced on Monday.
That's what Baylor was saying.
To switch out of that comfort zone, there's a natural discomfort that comes with being
so
separate.
That is division, or that is
you're taking something that was whole, and now you're separating it, so you're missing a piece of itself.
That would make me think of sadness, honey.
Right, but isn't it kind of mixed at anger and sadness? Like anger is a result of being sad. It's a symptom of sadness.
No, I'll tell you why. Because in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe writes that sadness comes from earth, from the Ofer, and anger comes from fire. That means it comes, its root is a different element. So that's to be understood. I can say it like this. I'm missing a few steps. Yeah, go ahead.
No, so Monday is just anger?
Yeah. Monday, that's what the Gemara says.
That's kind of sad because Sunday... Sunday is extremes. So you could be extreme for good, you could be extreme for
very
bad.
Very good. Okay, that's a very good point.
But
I want to come...
Monday, there's no positive.
There's no
of anger.
Okay, so I want to say like this.
Right, unless you're angry.
Okay. Okay. So the Alter Rebbe innovates in Tanya... The Alter Rebbe begins with the premise that even our animal soul is not purely evil.
Right.
Based on that premise, it means that every single midah that we have naturally has a place where if we do the effort of channeling it only there, it has to be itself a positive.
Okay.
In other words, there is out there in the world certain things that God put them in the world for us to reject it. Just because something is in the world doesn't mean, according to Hasidus, that everything in the world has to have a positive outlet. Certain things are in the world in order for them to be rejected. But everything within a yid has to have good eloma. Certain things are always good. No matter how you express it, it's good. So it doesn't demand any work. It's good. You're lucky. Certain things demand the way. The anger... Classically, we say anger is never okay. So the Alter Rebbe, it brings in Tanya that anger has a kosher place, and that is getting angry on your negative side.
What does that mean?
We spoke about getting angry at yourself. That there are certain times.
Positive?
That's a positive anger. He speaks about in one context to go on to that. These are the chapters 29 and 30 and 31 that Alter Rebbe is giving us. Psychological guidance of breaking out of depression, which is a tricky thing. For people who are depressed, there are many bad places to be. Depression is almost like a catch-22. It's so, the gravity, it's like a black hole. It's like, the more depressed you become, the more heavy you become, the more heavy you become, the more depressed you become. How do you kick out of that? So he says that if a person is very depressed, they have to get angry at themselves. For being so depressed. and anger, somehow psychologically, that meat of anger, it's a chemotherapy. Anger, fire burns everything. Burns everything. Now, it burns everything good also. But if there's something bad, sometimes there's no option today. We're going to get better at it, God willing. But now on the Vayli, you take chemo. What does chemo do? It burns the bad. It burns the good. Sometimes in the big picture, I would rather burn everything and get rid of the bad. Because that is going to kill me. So anger, like I'm killing myself by being angry at me. Good. Kill your depression. If you are now depressed, it's gonna break the depression. So says, and that's connected to a theme that Dennis Prager speaks about a lot. I don't know, that we are supposed to be angry at evil. That avada out there in the world. It means if you see something evil happening, our reaction should not only be intellectual. I don't believe in that. I won't do that. We should be angry. We should be outraged. How can such a thing happen in the world? How did it come to that? We should be angry about it. That's the kosher anger. So at least now I know, I'll tell you one thing, even though having said all that, yeah, the person who was born on Monday has this disadvantage. Or, let's flip it, a person who was born on Monday, being that we have to get rid of anger, the only way to get rid of anger is exercising a tremendous amount of gevura, which is also Monday, al pi chassidus. Gevura is the best thing in the world. Gevura means discipline. So if a person is born on Monday, they have no option other than becoming a very disciplined person. And I can tell you one of the greatest byproducts of being a Fruma Yid is that we live a life of discipline. And that's a blessing. That's a bracha, especially living now in our time and place in the Western world, where the culture that advocates many nice things doesn't yet chap the importance of discipline. And a Fruma person is filled with discipline. Well, if you have a Fruma home, the kids have enough discipline. Well, the good eights don't add new rules in your home. It's enough. Mamash dayach hamasha asra taina. Someone asked me if Steri and I have a time where the kids have to go to sleep because of discipline. I said no. He says we're Shabbos, we have to keep, and kosher we have to keep, and Shema in the morning and Shema at night, and Negovasa by the bed. Enough. There's enough discipline, my opinion. Let kids live in the little bit of freedom. God gave us this prescription. Don't add to it. It's not healthy. It's too much. But that's Monday. Now, coming back to what I just wanted to say, I'm missing a few steps. But in the root of the root of the root, based on the premise that the Alter Rebbe has, which is that a Jew will never be angry at God. It became almost hip to walk around saying, I'm angry at God. First of all, that's Tam Nadeshkeiten. But most importantly, the God that you can be angry at is Bechlal not God. Problem is, we don't know what God is. It's impossible to be angry at God. Accept that. If you don't accept it, if it doesn't make sense to you, that means that your notion of God is wrong. Now, there's a story that someone walked into a big yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, into a non-Chabad yeshiva. And he says he has a question about God. Who can he speak to? So they told each other that they're in yeshiva for many, many years, but they never learned about God. Which is true. You could go to yeshiva for 20 years, and you won't learn 1 minute about God, because all of the Gemara and all of the Mishnayos, all of it is teaching you about mitzvahs, not teaching you about God. Chassidus teaches us about Hashem. As the world is getting closer to Mashiach and more people are learning about God, so once we get a better understanding, a more mature understanding on God, we will never be angry at God. The emotion that we can have towards God that is not positive is frustration. Big difference, not anger. Anger comes from being wronged. You're doing something wrong. Frustration is that I don't understand what's happening. Very different. I'm questioning you is based on the premise that I'm the chacham, that I'm the understander, that more or less deep down I got it right, and you got it wrong, and I'm angry at you. Once I accept that you are perfect, and that's only for God, then if something appears horrible, what does that indicate? That I'm the clogged one. When you go into a class, and once you accept that professor, in the topic that he or she is discussing, they are mamish the experts. And they begin saying certain statements. And you have a certain amount of knowledge, and they're saying things that goes against certain core beliefs, pillars that you had. You're not going to be angry at them. You're going to be bewildered. You're going to be humbled. You're going to be saddened. Oy gewalt, I lived my whole life based on a wrong premise. Look how little I know. But you're not going to get angry at them. Oh, So based on that premise, the Alter Rebbe writes that if a person really not only believes in God, but if a person believes that everything that's happening is happening by Hashgacha Pratis, a person will never get angry. Where does anger come from? When we separate the world from God. That's according to Hasidus. In other words, if I believe that the world is a place in which things can mistakenly happen in, God is the boss, but the way we're the boss. Are you the boss? More or less. You have a business. You're more or less in control. Things could get out of hand. You have a home. You think you're the balabasta. Okay. But over there, under the sofa, there's something that you forgot about. And it's becoming moldy. God is a perfect balabas. He's a master. There's no little thing in the world that God is not involved in. You know, Eov was one of the greatest men that lived. Great meaning, he was righteous, he was a tzaddik, and he was being tested. And every type of human suffering happened to Eov over a prolonged amount of time. You know, certain people can tolerate suffering, but admasai. So, terrible. He lost his wealth. And then he lost his family. Children died, his wife died. And then he came to the breaking point. And he was talking to God, very strong conversations, out of frustration. And he tells God that, you know what I think? He tells God that my name is Eov. Eov is Aleph, Yud, Vav, Vez. That maybe you, God, somehow, you confused the way you order the letters and you are reading my name to be Oyev. Oyev means I'm your enemy. I'm not your enemy. You made a mistake. So God tells Eov, you think that I am confusing letters. God says that I created on every human being tremendous amount of hair on the head. If two hairs would go out of the same porous, the same follicle, our vision would be impaired. That's what God told him. So I am so involved in the world that on every single human being's head, never is there going to be a case where two hairs is coming out of one follicle. I'm going to confuse your name. In other words, Hashem is involved mamish in everything.
So is he frustrated with Hashem or angry?
First of all, we're not judging him. Make it very clear, we're in awe of Eov. At that moment, he was angry. At that moment. And one of the upsides of that story was that Hashem, God, vindicated himself, not that God needs to the Satan, that there was no one like Avraham Avinu, ever. Never in the past, never in the future. That Avraham Avinu, no matter what happened to him, never got angry at God. We cannot fathom what that means.
Do they have the same test?
Avraham Avinu was going to himself sacrifice Yitzchak. That's much worse. He never even got there. What God did to Avraham was awesome. And for Avraham Avinu, it was awesome, at times, not in a good way. He never reacted negatively. But based on this, based on the fact that he mamish felt that it's God's world. So, Api Chassidus, I get it, that anger is when there's a disconnect from the higher waters and the lower waters, meaning, I believe in God, and God is a mashgiach, but God missed this detail. If God would only know what I really feel regarding this, God couldn't have made it a little bit easier for me. It must be that God, there's an oversight. That's something, that's a disconnect from God. Now again, based on the premise that if I believe the attacker comes from God, I'm not going to be angry. You know, many people don't even accept that premise. They say, you're kidding? I'm angry at God? I believe in God, but I'm angry at God. Okay, say it further, it's funny. Or it's blasphemous, so say it's funny. There's a child talking. When you see a child kicking the mom, you laugh. It's funny. You know, a child gets angry at a mother, you see them. I think that's, you should laugh. To be, laugh. Because we're very... Mondays are prone to kas. No. Kas. I'm just explaining why is kas division. I'm just trying to get to that. Okay, bite it. Whoever's born on Tuesday, anyone here born on Tuesday? You're afraid to say you don't know what the Gemara is going to say? It gives an insight. All right. The Gemara doesn't say that here. Okay. So like this. Yehi, guys, don't blame it on me. I'm reading what it says in the good book. Yehi gvar atir. It's going to be a wealthy person. We're not done yet. And vizanai, and a promiscuous person. Or a tendency for. Guys, a tendency for. Don't kill anyone yet. My tama. Because since God created on Tuesday Asavim, the grass and the herbs, and this is very interesting. First of all, grass grows abundantly, much more than trees, right? The green Mother Earth, so that's abundance, wealth. However, when it comes to tree life and higher, God commanded the nature that the seed of one should not mix with the other. Now we are able to graft. Hashem commanded that naturally the seed of one species should not mingle with another, even though we have the power to graft, and now with modern technology, we can really mix. God does not want us to graft one species with the other. It's prohibited, always.
Even animal and vegetable species?
Not vegetable, trees. When it comes to herbage, to the asavim, they are allowed to mix. And that's the meaning of being promiscuous, that one is mixing with the other, even though they're not of the same species. They're not married together. Vaiter. Okay, clear. Whoever's born on Wednesday. Anyone Wednesday here?
Hey, I'm born on Wednesday.
No one knows when they're born here today. Okay. Okay, I got you. Okay.
And that totally makes total sense.
By the way, you're also a Gemini. I think they're both Mercury.
We're going to get to the... Wait. Don't jump ahead. Here's one thing. A little bit of knowledge is like a half a haircut.
That's what we
don't
eat.
It's garnished. I'm saying you have to get the Gemara. I'm gonna learn the Yetzira, and then we'll have limited knowledge. Before that, we have zero.
But Tuesday was so short. So what is their?
I made a short.
What's their growth or that's not?
It makes these. They go together. Wealth, growth.
Mm-hmm. So any tidbits for the people that are born on Tuesday?
That they should channel. They should work. They'll make it. They'll become very wealthy.
If they work,
of course. It's always if they work. Sure. Well, she wanted to go on Tuesday. I spent time on Monday because I wanted to extend the link. Here, the link is. I think a lot of wealth also brings to the Nisayan of what he mentioned later, because when people are very poor, they don't have time to sin. The Mishnah says that whoever assumes the yoke of learning Torah. Learning Torah is not a 5 minute a day occupation. Learning Torah means you're going to learn many hours every day. So the Mishnah says between earning a livelihood and learning Torah, you won't have time to sin, which is the best solution. Bechlal, I think, I'm sure, not I think, by the guys, our sons that are teenagers in yeshiva, they work them from 7 in the morning until 10 at night. Beshita, with no mercy. Why? Because a young teenage guy, in the good, if you keep them very busy 24/7, they won't have time. You're limiting their time to misbehave. And the same might go to every adult. That means if I know that in a certain area I have a weakness, so one way of dealing with my weakness is dealing with it and going to therapy and working on myself. One way is be so busy with other things. Again, it's external, but it works. You know, there's a joke that there was a person that had a phobia that someone was under his bed. Every time he went into the bed, someone was under the bed, and they got scared. They were scared of the monster under the bed. So he goes to a good therapist. The therapist says, listen, if you'll come to me twice a week, there's a therapist that charges in LA, he makes a $280, a discounted price, twice a week. After 3 years, I promise you, you'll get over that. The person never comes back to the therapist. A week later, the therapist sees the potential client on the street. And it tells the client, okay, I got it. You didn't come back to me, but who are you going to? So I'm going to no one. He says, but you were unable to live like this. You were unable to sleep. He says, listen, I cut off the legs off my bed. So the bed is laying on the ground. And no one can be under my bed. Which means that the mishugas was not healed. But it worked. We're not against that.
It's cognitive. It's awesome.
Push it. In other words, be busy. That's the word. Be busy. A person has a tendency to be promiscuous. Be busy. Get a job. Go work. Go learn Torah. And generally, that's a very healthy approach. But wealth and misbehavior, mamish come together. We see that the Alter Rebbe didn't want Hasidim to be wealthy. And our Rebbe, this is an evolution of seven generations, felt that this is the final phase before Mashiach. In other words, to have a Jew that is in poverty serving God, the Rebbe said this many times, so to say, speaking to God, he tells God, you already had that. You already got that. Once if Hashem wants for every single scenario to play itself out, and for the Jews in that setting to make the right choice. The Rebbe, so to say, tells God that the only scenario that didn't fully play itself out is having very, very wealthy Jews that are fully observant. So the Rebbe said that the final test before Mashiach is the test of wealth. It's not a test. But that's a good thing. But Baruch Hashem, there was a Lubavitcher Chassid by the name of Jimmy Garari, Rabbi Zalman Garari of blessed memory, an elder Chassid, who married into, I think, the Kapichnitzer Rebbe's family, into a different Rebbe's family. And the Rebbe gave him a bracha to become wealthy, and he was not becoming wealthy. The Rebbe gave him a bracha to become wealthy. Nachmal, he vited not becoming wealthy. He was a working man. And the Rebbe once met the Kapichnitzer Rebbe. And the Rebbe told the Kapichnitzer Rebbe, the Rebbe figured out he wasn't becoming wealthy because his wife's Rebbe felt that for spiritual reasons, you got to be poor. So there was some sort of spiritual war between this Rebbe and that Rebbe, you understand? And Nebuch, this guy is poor. The Rebbe said, the Rebbe challenged him that he has to be wealthy. And the Rebbe got him to verbally accept, even though he, in his heart of heart, doesn't matter, he should say, Amen. And he became wealthy for his whole life. Very wealthy. He bought the Rebbe's house. He basically supported the Rebbe, as far as we know. Okay. There was a Fabrengen once on Purim that the Rebbe spoke about the advantage of being wealthy and observant. And then the Rebbe spoke about the challenge of being observant in wealth. That we don't have history. We have history. We're very good that when we're suffering, a Jew suffers, we turn to God. Until today, someone is suffering, everyone says Tehillim. Did anyone make a Tehillim chat because someone bought a house? Never happened yet. Someone bought a house. Zok Tehillim, to thank God for that. No one dreams about this. We're bad news people. Bad news, ooh, everyone turns to God. That's not good. Because we're really giving God reasons. If God wants more Tehillim, what will God have to do? God forbid, something bad. We have to show God that if He wants our Tehillim, He got to give us wealth.
One of my father's favorite line was, there's no atheist in a foxhole.
Because when it's bad, you believe in God.
You start praying.
We have to change that mindset. That when it's good, we thank God. When it's bad, we don't thank God that much. We don't turn to God that much. I'm not saying that mamish. I'm just saying that we should do more connectivity to God in good than in the bad. All that is connected to Tuesday. And maybe that's why kitoif, double good. It's double good. Everything is double good. Okay. But there's tests and we have to be careful. The Rebbe spoke about the sign of wealth on a Purim for an hour. That when people are wealthy, that all sorts of Yetzer Haras come. And after that whole talk, the Rebbe says, whoever wants to be wealthy should pick up their hand. Only three Lubavitcher Hasidim picked up their hand. Chitrik, wealthy Lubavitcher, Deutsch. The three Lubavitcher families. And then the Rebbe, we have in recording, the Rebbe said afterwards that later people come to me and they tell me that they're suffering in Parnassa. And here there was an opportunity and no one seized it.
Were they embarrassed, you think?
Because the Rebbe gave a whole hour talk to understand the Nisoyan of wealth. If the Rebbe would have spoken that today, every person in the room would pick up both of their hands. Not one, both hands. Because the mentality changed. Because that's it. It's a different
one. You have Nisayon anyways in life. Might as well have it.
The Rebbe spoke about there's a Nisayon of poverty and there's a Nisayon of wealth. It's a different type of Nisayon. And the Rebbe's shita was that the Nisayon of poverty already happened in the past. And if Mashiach is not here, that means something new has to be accomplished. So the Rebbe's argument was, what has to be accomplished? We should be wealthy.
So do you think these three people took on that
Nisayon? Sure they did.
But do you think they took it for the money or for the Nisayon?
Who cares?
That's so interesting.
Who cares? They were wealthy and they're observant and their kids are observant and the grandkids are observant.
They probably were not wealthy at the time, and they figure this is hard too. Let's see what the other side will look like.
That's why the rule is, Bechal, get a bigger house. You can't pay your rent right now. You're struggling anyway. You might as well struggle
such
in a bigger house.
Mentality.
What?
Anyways, you're suffering.
I know so many people.
No, I'm just
saying.
90%.
I can't afford anything. I'm going to buy a house.
Otozoi.
I know tons of people like that.
Not to minimize the challenge of doing it, the Rebbe was always into pushing people to go beyond their ability when it comes to a house.
Okay.
Always. The Chazal and the Gemara says it. When it comes to food, the Gemara says you should eat less than what you can afford. Let's be more careful. When it comes to garments, dressed according to what you could. When it comes to a home, beyond your ability. Beyond your ability.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Who said that?
That's the way Toto looks at it. Huh?
You're supposed to kill yourself in mortgage.
Don't say the word kill yourself.
Well,
it's a lot in the head.
Well,
you
should buy more than your blood on your house.
Yeah.
But also, you're hoping that when you get that, your levels will go up.
Amen.
The same thing with more kids. They say with every kid comes a loaf of bread. Hopefully, your breath is coming a little better. Don't you feel like this is dangerous?
I feel like you see people also taking that and falling apart. Like, people go bankrupt. People have more kids than they can handle. Like, I feel like those kind of things.
Everything.
Are like,
okay. I just want to be. I want to say like follow to what you're saying.
Yeah.
When speaking in public, the way I'm doing over here,
yeah.
The Gemara makes the statement, go beyond your means. When you speak to a specific individual, then the neshama is the same. But if that individual is already going beyond their means, then the good outside friend should say, not that much. Take it easy. You have to know where that person is coming from to know what they need to have a compliment in. What balance is needed, but when you're speaking to the world, then that's the saying of the sages.
But
eat cautiously. Don't go out to restaurants, even if you can afford. Be careful. Don't spend money on food, not even according to your means. Less than your means. Dress according to your means.
I never heard
that. And house beyond your means. Okay, we're good. Wednesday, like it. Now we have the Wednesday. Hello, what happened on Wednesday? Whoever's born on Wednesday, which means Tuesday night, Wednesday. Will be Gvar Chachem Vinod, will be a wise and a radiant person. Wow. Wise and radiant. Why? What happened on Wednesday? God placed all of the luminaries of the sky in their place. Gvaldik, particularly the sun and the moon. So there's a special bracha of wisdom and radiance. Wisdom is within. Radiance is to be able to have, to take whatever you have within and to share it with others. Right? Many people are wise, but if they don't share the wisdom, who benefited from the wisdom? It's two different talents. It's like almost like Chachma and Bina. Bina means you become articulate, because most ways you share your knowledge is through speaking clearly in a way that other people can easily understand. Good.
On Wednesday, so I was looking at that. So that, what I took that from also is someone who likes order. You want order. You want.
Doesn't say order here.
Doesn't?
No, that's your own mishabas.
My own mishabas.
Not everything, but the general Wednesday, it's about wisdom and radiance. Now I'll go back to what you mentioned before regarding anger. So is that only good? It's not only good, because a person can be a chachem lehara. King Solomon says you can have wisdom. For bad, gotta be careful. And if a person is you go into the room and everyone a radiant person, and then that person has some sort of natural koyach of influencing his or her surroundings, then they have to be extra careful to make sure that whatever it is that they are sharing, just because it's called wisdom, not every wisdom is kosher wisdom. Certain wisdom is called crooked wisdom. I'm saying there's good and bad in that. Okay, influencers are. I'm sorry?
I said it was a bit. Influencers is a big word right now. Everyone's an influencer.
Not everyone.
No, but like yeah.
Everyone thinks they're
in the like social
Instagram.
Media world.
Yeah, but that's
who wants to be.
I would say that.
It's a career.
It's a buzzword.
Well, it depends what you're trying to influence.
Correct.
I'm sure that if a person has something good to.
There are some good influencers.
Master is good.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Is each.
Well, I mean, there are 7 days of the week. Are they connected with the spheros at all?
Sure they are. We'll get to learn Sefer Yetzirah. Hold on, we're just beginning. A series over here. All right, next. Vaitin. Hi, man, the Bacham Shabbashaba. Whoever is born on Thursday will be a person that's going al chasodim. Will be a person that has a greater tendency of performing deeds of kindness. You're born on Thursday?
My daughter.
Very good.
Sarah.
And why? Because since God created on Thursday the fish and the birds. And what do we see in the fish and the birds? Oh, it's amazing. What's the kindness by the fish and the birds? So Rashi writes that neither fish or birds have to expend real effort to get their parnasa. Hashem provides it for them in a very gemilus chasadim dik way. You know, it's not that they are the givers, but Hashem revealed in the world God's gemilus chesed. He created. The truth is, when God created Adam and Chava, if not for whatever the first sin was, there would have been an abundance of parnasa for everyone with a very little amount of effort. Allowing people to do whatever they were meant to do, to fulfill your mission, and not to spend a big chunk of your life going after something which might not be your mission. You got to do it because you got to live. But man is vulnerable to sin, and he sinned. We lost that to a certain degree. The fish and the birds, unlike fowl, they have to make an effort. Could be they can sit lazy, but when the lion gets hungry, oh, does she have to go run? You see this. But the birds and the fish have a very easy time getting their food. Now, whoever is born on Friday will be Gevar Chazron, will be a person that has a lot of perseverance. Now, is perseverance good or bad? It depends. It depends what you use it for. Certain people, they try to sin once, it didn't go, they give up. Certain people persevere. Friday has the teva of perseverance, of not giving up. Keep on going. Certain people, you know, the Duracell battery. What's pshat? Why is that? So Rav Nachman says that this refers specifically perseverance in the keeping of mitzvahs. Why? First of all, what did God make on Friday? Man. What was man preoccupied in, or what should man be preoccupied in? What are our community? What are we doing Friday? People are getting ready for Shabbos. And especially since Shabbos comes in at 5:34, you know, you got the limit. So people have to persevere. You have your to-do list, and it has to get done. There's no leeway. So you become very Fridays a day, maybe there's some tension. And by the way, this can lead into anger. That's why it's Al Tareb writes that we have to make the biggest effort not to be angry in our homes Friday afternoon. Because by nature, because of the pressure of the deadline of Shabbos, people get anxious. But we have to persevere. So people that are born on Friday persevere. And the final day of the week, Hayman de Bishabato. That's you. Remember that from last week. I was born on Shabbos. So what happens? Yomus. He's destined to die in Shabbos. That's not in nature.
What? That's what we get.
I'm reading the Gemara. Don't get upset. Okay. 1 second. Wait. Oh, I was born on Shabbos. Wait. Don't get nervous. Why? So the Gemara says, because al da achilu alohi, because since the person's birth brought about the desecration of Shabbos. No, that doesn't go to someone that was born right after candle lighting, because then all of the desecration was done before.
My daughter was born right after Shabbos. We drove to
Ashkelon. Okay, so here we go. So whoever was born in a way where the Shabbos was desecrated, so therefore they are destined, so to say, by nature, to pass away on Shabbos. Oh, however, now this opens up a whole different topic connected to mazel, dafka. And I think there's a chachma in why did the Gemara, first of all, what nature? This is the first day that the Gemara is not linking a certain tendency. That's not a tendency.
That's a
That's a we're going into future seekers. We're going from astrology to what's going to happen. So the commentators write something gavaldic. The reality is that the vast majority of the people that are born on Shabbos do not pass away on Shabbos. The Gemara concludes with this to teach us something very important. That just because there is a tendency for something to be, don't think it's going to happen. Don't think it's going to, it means you have a tendency. So we'll go back to Tuesday. If a person wants to become wealthy, you're born on Tuesday, you have a higher chance to succeed. That's the pshat. Or any other of the tendencies. If a person wants to do something that demands extremism, if you were born on Sunday, you have an additional koyach to succeed. But not that all of these mazalis determine what will be v'haraya. We're saying in the sugya of, in the topic of mazalis, you got a mazal, you're going to die on Shabbos, and most people. Now, why don't people die on Shabbos? Because there are many other factors. That's what we spoke about last week. B'chlal, the whole sugya of mazalis doesn't mean, even when you learn all of the information, it doesn't mean that now you have the info, this is what's going to happen. Absolutely not. Rashi writes, a person can do one mitzvah, and because of one mitzvah, God will give them many more years. And once they get more years, it's not so simple. How do they get more years? They get someone else's years. They get someone else's years and days. So all of a sudden, if there's somewhere in the universe another 300 days, right? Is 300 divided into 7? No, it's not. So then if God will add, they were supposed to pass away on Shabbos, but they were given more time up until 300 days, that won't fall out on Shabbos. No, it's the last one of the 7 is given, huh? Gavaldik, is to show you that you're not bound by any of it. Okay, what's the point? First of all, that's why we gave an intro last week, that we don't celebrate mazalis. We don't find throughout history that Chachma Yisrael wrote a lot of books on it or spent a lot of time on it. We're learning for 10 years together. We can learn a few weeks of mazalis. In that context, even say for Yitzir, it's not about the mazalis. It's about God. It's a little part of it. Not right the way you said it. It's in other words, is Judaism, you know, pick a certain, is Judaism gefilte fish? No. Now, is gefilte fish a part of it? Yeah, but you know, it's not. What should it be? It should be something learned in the Gemara is very wise. There's no tractate of mazalis. There's no topic of mazalis. You don't even have any single book written on mazalis. Like I said, the Sefer Yetzira is speaking about God and about the letters. It's a book about the letters of the Aleph Beis. If you want to encapsulate Sefer Yetzira, it's not about the mazalis. There is also, we have to acknowledge, like the beginning of Tanya. If someone were to ask you, what is the book of Tanya about?
Character.
I would say the book of Tanya is a book that advises me how to better connect to God emotionally. I think that's a good way to say it. That's the goal of the Tanya. It's the Shulchan Aruch is to tell me what to do, how to be observant in the doing. Right. Hasidus comes and says, okay, the doing is, of course, the beginning and the end, but you also want to feel. So you have to feel. Now, in order for me to figure out how can I feel more for Yiddishkeit, I also have to learn about myself. So the beginning of the Tanya speaks about yourself. But there is no book that is written to tell you about you. That's not the goal of the book. The goal of the book is to help us be inspired to serve God with inspiration. In order to get there, you also have to spend 12 chapters learning about yourself. In order for me to serve Hashem better, I have to know about myself. And a part of me, not all of me, is my animal soul. And I have to know a little bit more about my animal soul. That's not the end game. Even when people go to therapy today, I don't think that people are going to therapy today just to learn halachas of themselves. They're learning, they want to learn about themselves in order to do something better, or in order to figure out how to stop doing something better.
Can you say that it's like personality archetypes that you could then apply to people, not necessarily because they're born on that day, but because it's a type?
And then we are applying it on that day. We are saying that.
So you're specific, but
we are.
I think it's good to have the knowledge.
We are saying this is a part of my character. It doesn't mean that it's even ever going to come out. You know something, just to conclude with this, a gavaldic concept. When you read about the story of Esav and Yaakov, who was angry with who? You read the Chumash, it says Esav was angry with Yaakov. You learn Chumash and Rashi. Rashi writes, Yaakov was also angry with Esav. Mestama Yaakov, if you can say that, was not even aware that he was angry with Esav. It's good to know. You have to know, you have to have self-knowledge, not because this is the end game. If you want to, let's look it through a external lens. My end game is to observe, but certain mitzvahs I want to keep, but I'm just not keeping it. And so in order for me to figure out how to do something that I say I want to do, that I think I want to do, but I just never end up doing, right? I want to go on a diet. Why can't I do it? What's wrong with me? So for that, you have to have self-knowledge to better understand how am I wired. In order what? Just to know me? Who cares? It's stupid. Why should I? Who cares? No, I want to know that in order to be matzliach in doing something. So in other words, the big picture is either, if you want to use the words of Shulchan Aruch, the big picture is I want to succeed in observing the mitzvahs. That's the bigger Jewish picture. The Hasidish Jewish picture is I want to succeed in feeling more for God. One doesn't exclude the other. One complements the other. But that's my goal. My goal is I want to feel something for God. That's a big, that's an ambitious project. First, you have to have a certain notion about God. It can sound like you want to feel. And why do you want to feel for God? Because I want to be observant. And the only way I'm going to be observant, the only way our kids are going to be observant is if they have a feeling for, you want to use the word Yiddishkeit, say the word Yiddishkeit, they should feel it. And in order to get that feeling, I have to have self-knowledge. Part of self-knowledge is mazos. I need to know. So I was born on Shabbos. This gives me zero insight. Secret. Maybe it's meant also. No insight. Maybe it means it's, what's it called? It's the stem cell. It's a stem cell. Whatever you want, which is good and bad. Separated person. The Gemara doesn't say that, but it could be. That's right.
I mean, think of twins.
Yeah.
Tons of twins.
So now the Gemara says, but there's no tendency. So Amar Rava Barab Shila veKadisha Rabba Yiskerei, that person will be called a great person. Ha! Because Shabbos, because Shabbos is a great day. So Shabbos is called great, and then the commentators say here's that or Kaddish. Kaddish means that this person will be. Don't think the word Kaddish as holy. Think the word Kaddish as a loner. Kaddish means removed, that the person by nature won't need, certain people are people's people, that's a bad word because even loners can be good people's people. Certain people need social. They need social. If you take them out of social, they're not good. Some part of them is not good. Certain people, they need to be alone. You put them amongst other people, they die. They can be very good amongst people, but that's not their nature. So that's the Gemara later adding, that Shabbos gives you a nature of being a loner, which is good and bad. Just go to bed.
Can we repeat Friday again, please?
Friday is a person that has a lot of perseverance. A person who has the koyach, when you have a deadline, most people, when you have to get something done by a certain time, it drives people mad. Most people get angry. It says in Shulchan Aruch, be very, very careful not to get angry Friday afternoon. Why be very careful every day? No, Friday afternoon in your house, this didn't get done yet, that didn't, and you only have another hour and a half. And this, so it's this pressure. So this can make people have an outburst. Be very careful. Perseverance are people that they thrive. They're good. They work well under a lot of pressure.
That's perseverance.
Yeah,
to me, perseverance is like, when something's taken longer than you want and you don't throw in the towel.
Why don't you throw in the towel? Because you function very well, goal-oriented people. I'm going towards my goal. If I get either frustrated because I'm not getting there yet or because there's not enough time to do everything I need to do, then I don't work well with goals. Then goals, especially time-bound goals, don't work with me. It doesn't... If the goal is to get it done, then what gets it? What motivates? For many people, goals motivate, but for most people, goals only motivate if there's no time on it. If you tell a person the goal is to get that done by now, 10 p.m., most people don't function well like this. They don't like that. Some people function the best, better. If they don't have a time set goal, they'll never do it.
But if you don't have a time set goal, then why would you do it?
Because you believe in it.
Because you want it.
Because you want it. Let me ask you a question. There's a mitzvah to learn Torah. There's no time set goal how much every day. So certain people, taka, they learn a little bit because there's no goal. Certain people learn tremendous amounts. The moment you give them a goal, they're finished. You should know for your sons in yeshiva, the yeshiva gives you specific goals. You have to learn this amount and this time. Certain kids do very bad on that. And if you would take away that pressure, then they would do a lot better. Certain people need that. People that work well, at least that's the concept of Friday, people that work well within a time frame, get that done, they work well. Not they can only do it. Inside works well. That's a Friday type of person.
I'm born on a Friday, and that's definitely me. It's the concept of no time for me.
It's not good.
It's not good.
Hefker. It becomes hefker. Yeah. Then you don't do anything.
Oh, so, it's interesting because that Shabbat, they say it's about being alone. That's like interesting.